Earth, sky.
A weather model is our basic tool for taking information about the atmosphere at a given time. Say we make a measurement of wind, temperature, or pressure, and extrapolating that information forward in time in some physically consistent way. So with that kind of capability, if you can tell me the temperature or some other variable now, I can use the weather model to make a prediction of what those fields might look like maybe an hour or 2 hours from now. And then I can take that result, put it back into my computer model, and step out a little further in time.
You're listening to NASA scientist Ron Gilero talking about how scientists use computer models to simulate and forecast Earth's weather. And this is Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Gilero is a lead scientist at the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center. He spoke more about forecasting the weather and about the key role played by NASA's Aqua satellite with Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Gilero, welcome to Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
For this series on Aqua, maybe you could tell us how the Aqua satellite is used to help understand weather.
Well, the Aqua satellite has a broad array of instruments, imagery and pictures, very high-resolution pictures of the atmosphere and surface properties, as well as very detailed three-dimensional vertical profiles of things like temperature and humidity. It's key to have this sort of information, to have a complete three-dimensional picture of the atmosphere. And the Aqua satellite and the instruments on board have given us really a quantum leap in terms of the types of what we call vertical resolution or detail from space of these various parameters that help us fill in this complete three-dimensional picture of what the atmosphere looks like.
So that's really where the weather models come in, is that I guess they take this raw data and turn it into something that is three-dimensional.
So we have two types of information. We have observations, like we get from Aqua, which tend to be quite accurate, but they can also be very disparate in time and space. Sometimes we have observations in one location where the satellite's flying, and at a given moment, we won't have observations somewhere else. So they give us accurate information, but as I said, somewhat separate and in different parts of the globe at any given moment. The models, on the other hand, give us a very complete three-dimensional picture of the atmosphere at any given moment, because our model covers the entire Earth in terms of what we're depicting, but it has certain errors and limitations. So what we do to produce the best picture of the atmosphere we can come up with is blend these two pieces of information together. That is, we blend the observations with the models and the physical laws that we think should govern the way all the various parameters relate, to come up with an even more accurate depiction of the atmosphere than either the models or the observations can give us alone.
What is Aqua doing that is relevant, I guess, to people who really want to understand weather?
Well, as I said, Aqua has a broad array of instruments, and some give us very detailed pictorial information about the atmosphere in terms of clouds or even the locations of fires, which are useful just for the information they provide visually. And that has helped forecasters. But it also provides, as I mentioned, these very detailed measurements of temperature or humidity that wouldn't necessarily affect the person on the ground immediately. They're interested in temperature near the surface, not necessarily in the middle of the atmosphere. But yet, the modelers, we take this information, this detailed vertical information, and we blend it into the models and use that to produce more accurate forecasts. And it's very critical, even though the person on the ground might not feel the temperature several thousand feet above their head, an accurate depiction of that temperature, for example, is very critical to get a more accurate depiction of the temperature, say, near the surface a day or two from now. And that's a capability that the Aqua satellite has increased for us dramatically.
Maybe you could tell us how scientists are doing in understanding Earth's weather, and what are some of the challenges that keep them from completely understanding it?
Well, actually, our understanding of the weather is actually generally quite good, but it's also a function of the scale of the processes. We understand large-scale circulations, processes and those sort of phenomena that are easy to observe, we understand those very well. in terms of our physical laws. As it gets to more complex processes as they relate to clouds or smaller motions, those we understand less well. But the basic problem with the atmosphere is there is really an inherent predictability limit. The atmosphere is what we call a chaotic system. What that means is that it's very difficult to come up with a regular cause and effect sort of relationship. It doesn't always respond in the same way to small perturbations. So that means you can make what seems like a very small error in your depiction of the atmosphere at a given moment, and that could become a very large error in a forecast. It's a lot of people have heard of the butterfly effect, where, you know, there's this folklore that can a butterfly flapping its wings in Beijing cause a rainstorm in Brazil? Well, it's not quite that bad, but it is sort of an anecdotal way of expressing the property the atmosphere has, where what seems like a very small change or perturbation at one moment in time can lead to a very sudden and dramatic change a very short time later. That doesn't always happen, but it can happen. And unless we can model the atmosphere perfectly and observe the atmosphere perfectly, that's a limitation we'll never be able to get beyond. Now, we've made progress, but the atmosphere, for that reason, will never be entirely predictable.
What are some of the things that you see ahead in improving weather models and improving weather forecasts?
When we talked about the vast quantities of observations coming from the Aqua satellite, in reality, because of our limited understanding and our limited computational resources, now I don't mean that they're severely limited, but they have limitations. In reality, we only use day in and day out a very small fraction of the data that are actually available from Aqua. On the one hand, it's just very difficult to ingest this tremendous volume of data in its entirety. On the other hand, Aqua gives us very detailed measurements of things that, quite frankly, we don't know how to model quite accurately. Now, the data are helping us understand these processes and helping us build these more accurate models for these specific processes. But in time, we'll need to work with these data and just improve our models of certain processes, particularly as it relates to clouds and water vapor. These are very important components of the climate system and the weather systems. They're sort of the beginning of the whole process of making weather, and yet they're the least understood. So we need to move toward just more accurate models and better use of the observations that we have, and then understanding where we need observations, where we have gaps in the types of things we can observe as they are now.
You've been listening to Ron Gilero, lead scientist of atmospheric simulation at the Global Modeling and Assimilation Office of the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.